It's now exactly 10 o'clock, time for World Roots, and this week a programme of highlights from the 2009 Timitar Festival, which was held in the town of Agadir on Morocco's Atlantic coast. It's presented by Lucy Duran.
Wow, this is really, really quite an event. There are four women dancers on stage. They're in red full-length dress with headscarves and heavily ornamented in gold and silver jewellery. They're swaying their arms, they're shaking their shoulders, they're rotating their quite robust hips. And the lead singer, Raisa Aisha Tashinuit, she's in a long black gown with covered with glittering gold tassels. And she has this crowd in the palm of her hand. And this is no mean crowd. There must be well over 100,000 people here in this main square of Agadir in the Place Alamel. There are men and women who are clapping out quite complex syncopated rhythms. They're dancing, they're singing along, they're chanting to this high energy music. The music of the professional musicians, the so-called Ruais of the Berber, or to use their own term, the Amazigh people of this region of Morocco, Sousse. And that's the main purpose of the Timitar Festival where we are now. It's a real showcase for Amazigh culture, and you can really feel how this audience are so proud of their music and how they're just going mad with this singer. She represents for them the more popular side of Amazigh culture. It's really quite a sight. And we still have two more Moroccan female stars in store for us at the festival on today's program, representing different cultures in Morocco. Later on, from the Sahrawi people in the southern desert region, we'll meet the singer Rashida Talal and hear her special desert blues. And from the north, one of the great singers in the more Arabic style of Moroccan music, Samira Saeed. And now let's hear this very special singer who's driving the crowd absolutely crazy, the singer Raisa Aisha Tashinuit.
I'm Raisa Aisha Tashinuit.
Your culture is, well, what we call Berber culture. It's Amazigh culture. Do you come from a particular region with a special style of Amazigh culture?
Well, I'm famous for having my own style, really. I started working with famous Amazigh artists like Hassan Aramsouk and Talib Lemzoudi. And when their videos went on the market, people began to notice the dancing girl with a strange movement, which they have never seen in Morocco. That girl was me. I played in the Amazigh movie, The Orphan, which was the first Amazigh movie in 2003. This was what made me famous, my way of dancing and singing and the movie too. So then I formed my own band, because the audience wanted to hear more of me.
So you're a real creator, you're an innovator, you're a pioneer of new styles of Amazigh music.
All is thanks to God. You know, I didn't even study music. This is something I have in my blood. I go into a kind of trance while performing, and I cannot explain where it all comes from. But although I have made innovations with folk music and added new things, tradition is precious for me, because it's our culture. But I like to mix tradition and modernity.
And what role do women play in this tradition, in the Amazigh tradition?
In our culture, women play a role in everything. Women are equal to men. In music, there are as many women singers, the Rai said, as there are men singers, the Rai. Anyone who is talented and works hard is recognized, man or woman. And now we have women flying planes. And we have women government ministers in Morocco now.
If I look at you, and I didn't know that you were Amazigh from Morocco, I would think you were from northwest China. I would think you were Uyghur. You look completely oriental.
Well, you know, there was a rumor going around at the beginning of my career that my mother is Amazigh and my father is Chinese. Journalists used to ask me this in interviews, and I had to tell them, no, both my father and my mother are Moroccan. But you're right, I do look Chinese. And actually, Tashinuit is a nickname. It's what my fans call me. They give me the name Aisha Tashinuit, which means Aisha with Chinese eyes.
Aisha, how is it for you as an Amazigh woman, as a Raisa, performing at this festival, the Timitar Festival, which celebrates Amazigh culture, and you're performing in front of 100,000 people?
Well, I'm going to be on the stage in a few hours, so right now I feel a little terrified, but I feel happy too. I'm really happy to participate in Timitar Festival. We are all proud of it, not only as Amazigh people, but also as Moroccans. The festival gives us the chance to perform our music in a huge arena at a very high professional level. And to see Amazigh musicians mixing and sharing the stage with musicians from cultures from all over the world, it makes us feel so good and proud.
Thank you.
كل شيء يصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم راه بحال بحال ثلاثة، واحد جوج ثلاثة صباح.
That was the Amazigh singer Raisa Aisha Tashinuit taking the crowd here at the Timitau Festival by storm. And now I'm with someone who's been involved in the festival since it began 6 years ago. Her name is Khadija El-Benawi. Khadija, the crowd for the Raisa was, it was really like a football crowd.
Yeah.
So what's going on? Why are they so enthusiastic about this music?
Because it's the music of the region, all the rice and the rice style, it's the music of this region, so it talks to people.
But you know, in many parts of the world, the music of the region is precisely the music that people don't want to hear, they're sick of it.
It's completely the opposite here, actually. The people in Agadir and in the whole region, they used to listen only their own music. And even, I mean, I remember when I was a child at the TV, we don't really like the Andalusian music, which is from another region of Morocco. My family wanted only to listen to Amazigh music. And now with the festival, we are trying to raise awareness about the other musics in the world. So that's why the theme of the festival is the Amazigh music, hosting world music. It's also, we are open to the world, but it's like kind of contradiction. It's really very specific here. People like their music.
So there's an audience of at least 100,000.
Yeah.
But the crowd looks to me as though it's almost entirely local.
Yes. Since the first year we had all the time, the majority, it's local people. And the tourists we have here in Agadir, I mean, the majority of them, they come for the sun and the beach and the hotels. And we tried actually the first year to attract these clients, but it was difficult. But what is also interesting in this festival that we invite international professionals. A lot of artists who performed here in Timitau, then they had tours in Europe and in other festivals.
The music of the Berber or the Amazigh is very much located in specific regions of Morocco,
yeah.
And we're in one of them. But Morocco is also enormously diverse. There are many other cultures.
Well, the diversity of Morocco, it's even for me, who is Moroccan, is amazing. You know, sometimes when I travel from a region to a region, I feel like a foreigner going to another place. In terms of landscape, in terms of languages, in terms of sounds, in terms even of faces.
The way people look.
Yeah. So Morocco is first Amazigh. It's African, it's Arab, it's Andalusian, and now it's becoming also Western. And in terms of music, it's, you know, it's all this diversity.
And that diversity is reflected in this festival.
Yeah. The main theme is the Amazigh music and world music, but we are also programming other styles from Moroccan music, like Shabi, like the what we call modern Arabic song, Sahrawi also music.
Well, those are precisely the two cultures that we're going to be hearing later on in the program. Because at the end of the program, we're going to hear Samira Saeed,
yeah,
who's a Moroccan artist by origin, but she now lives in Egypt. And tell us about Samira Saeed.
I'm a big fan of Samira Saeed, and she's a symbol of a Moroccan success also. She's an Arab star. Not only that, I like her music, and she has a very, very big audience here. Morocco, you know, it's like a carrefour.
It's like a crossroad.
Yes, it's a crossroad country. So we are like, you know, hosting all the influences, and we don't reject. It's like, and this all cultures that we digest this, and then we produce something else, you know, our own culture. This was Morocco since centuries, and it's still. So Samira Saeed is reflecting the Middle Eastern influence in Morocco, you know. Egyptian cinema is very, very strong.
So in Morocco, you're looking towards the Middle East,
yeah,
for your popular culture. But you're also looking towards the West.
Yeah.
And towards Africa?
Yeah. Towards sub-Saharan Africa, I assume to say we are the most African Arab country and most open Arab country open to sub-Saharan Africa, because we have very strong black roots.
We're about to meet a singer who comes from the Sahrawi culture way down in the south. Her name is Rashida Talal. So what about the Sahrawis?
What I like from the Sahrawi music and language is this proximity with the Arab language and the poetry, and also for us it reminds us of the Mauritanian borders, you know. When I listen to Sahrawi music, for me, it's very close to Mauritanian.
So Sahrawi music is an important part of Moroccan culture that
it's,
you want to
especially
represent.
For Agadir. It's, although Agadir is known as an Mazigh city, there is a new university of, in Agadir. So a lot of students from Laayoune, Dakhla, they come and study here. So there is a community here. And here in Morocco, everything is done to push all this diversity to be Moroccan. It's like a common ground for us, you know. The Moroccan Arabic, what we call Darija, it's like the common Moroccan Arabic that we all understand.
I am Amazigh. Like your lingua franca.
Yeah, I am Amazigh, but I learned in the street the Moroccan Arabic to communicate with everybody. I mean, as an Amazigh, yes, the Amazigh language wasn't, it's not that it wasn't allowed, it was marginalized by the Arabic speaking system. But also even by people, they don't feel proud to be Amazigh. And but now everything is done really to encourage all this culture.
I mean, what role do you think this festival is playing in that, at least locally?
That's what Dimitar Festival is doing, is to make people to be proud of Amazigh roots. And believe me, it's really, when I make comparison between 10 years ago and now, it's just incredible. People 10 years ago, they find that Amazigh names like old-fashioned. Now they are, you know, the trendy Casablanca people, they give Amazigh names to their children. And 15 years ago, the popular, what we call Chabi music, it wasn't valued by young people. And now young people, they are very proud of Chabi music, of Gnawa music, and of their black roots. So all these changes came from music.
Really?
Yeah. So in Morocco, everything is done to encourage and to push the diversity of Moroccan culture. Morocco, it's an Amazigh country with diversity of influences, Arab, Muslim, Andalusian, and also Sahrawi culture.
And the situation of the Sahrawi people continues to be a sensitive one here. The old Spanish colony of the Western Sahara was annexed by Morocco with the so-called Green March of 1975, when 350,000 Moroccans crossed the border into the Western Sahara and settled there. Then followed 16 years of conflict with the Polisario Front, the movement to liberate the Western Sahara from Moroccan rule. A ceasefire left Morocco in effective control of almost all of the Western Sahara, with more than 100,000 Sahrawis stranded in refugee camps in the desert of southwest Algeria. The dispute over the territory continues to polarize Sahrawis on both sides of the border. One of the people who went on the Green March was the young Rashida Talal, who went with her parents to live in the Western Saharan town of Laayoune. She became immersed in the local Sahrawi culture, and with her powerful voice, she grew to become a leading singer of Sahrawi music in Morocco. Here she is with her band in a special World Roots session in Agadir and her song Hasne Yalila, Beautiful Night.
I didn't know.
Well, this is really special. This is the singer Rashida Talal. She's from the south of Morocco, the deep south of Morocco, from the region called Layoun Boujdour Sakia Hamra. And this is the Sahrawi music of this country. And the instruments were the tidinit, which is the lute. There was an electric bass. There was a tabal, which is a round kettle drum. There's a metal dish, which is called zainia. And there's a conical drum, which is called djembia. And again, the lead singer is Rashida Talal. Rashida, tell us in general about the music of the Sahrawi people of Morocco.
This music is from Sahara, and it's a music that expresses the culture of Sahrawi people. We call it Sahel music. People say it's like Mauritanian music, and it may sound similar, but in Mauritania they sing the whole song, and that's a kind of classical style. They have very different rules. With Haul, they start with one rhythm called Bahar, and they have to keep that rhythm until the end. But with Sahel music, our rhythmic system is called Buhur, and it can change within a song. Like if you are in a house, with Haul, you have to visit all the rooms one by one in the same order. With Sahel singing, you can move around the house just as you like.
So tell me about yourself, Rashida. Are you a traditional griot?
No.
Well, that's another difference from Mauritania. The traditional singers called Les Jouis all come from one ethnic group, Les Jouans. Anyone can be a singer here. I'm from the Ghribat people. I'm Ghribia.
So how did you start to sing, Rashida?
I first became noticed when I went in for a TV talent competition in Morocco in 1994, and I got the first prize. This gave me the opportunity to enter a competition for the whole Arab world. And in that, I managed to get a second prize. You know, I'm the first singer in the south of Morocco who performed in front of an audience with an orchestra. And because of that, I was persecuted in Layoun. I suffered violence. That's why I left Layoun and went to Rabat.
Ah, so the problem is really with Sahrawi culture. Because we see Samira Said, we see other women singers.
Yeah, my problem was with traditional Sahrawi culture. It's okay for men and his wives to sing together in public, and it's okay for girls to sing with their fathers. But when I started, there were no female singer performing on stage or in TV, traveling alone. I'm the one who broke the rules.
And who actually punished you? Your own family?
I don't know who it was who attacked me. It was nighttime in Layoun, and I left my home to buy some bread. Then a Land Rover stopped, and some people got out. They came up behind me. I heard voices of a man and a woman too. They jumped on me, and someone said, "Cut her hair." And it was a man's hand who cut my hair. They also broke my arms.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. They broke your arms?
They broke my arms because I tried to fight back. Those people, they felt that a woman singing was a matter of shame. So they cut my hair as a sign of shame. But thanks God, it's all in the past now.
It's past. Alhamdulillah. Rashida, can I ask you, during the terrible events, the Green March and so on, what happened to your family?
I was on the Green March, but I was very young, only 5 years old. My family settled in Layoun, and there are still members of my family there now. At the time, we all helped each other. We gave all what we could to other people to help and support them.
So how do you feel about the Sahrawi situation now? Such a huge population outside in exile in Tindouf.
In my opinion, the people who are staying in Tindouf are crazy. You know, the doors are open to them to come into Morocco and to rejoin their separated families. I can't understand why they don't want to rejoin their families. I am an artist and I really stay away from politics. So I'm just talking from a human point of view. I know someone who did come back. He is studying at a college now.
Yeah, it's very sad that the same population is separated because it's such a powerful culture.
It is very sad, yes.
Rashida, as soon as I saw on the programme of this festival, of the Timitar Festival, that there was a Sahrawi singer, I immediately said, I've got to meet this woman because I love Sahrawi music. It's really, really beautiful. And everybody around the world who hears this music likes it immediately because it's very appealing.
Thank you.
Would you introduce another song for us? Would you tell us about this, the next song that you're going to do?
It's about the favorite man of all Sahrawi women, the generous man, the one that all women try to get.
The perfect man, the perfect Sahrawi.
And every line says something new. First, one of the boys praises his girlfriend. He is looking at her walking. He couldn't take his eyes off her. She is very simple, just like a village girl, but she is still every bit as good as any of the sophisticated women of the world.
Thank you.
Now for Morocco's biggest star, Samira Said. She was born in Morocco's capital, Rabat, and she had a huge success in Morocco as a teenage singer. Then, in her 20s, she made the decision to move to Cairo, then the centre of the Arab music industry. She's now one of the Arab world's top singers, but in the process, she's caused controversy in Morocco as she switched from singing in her native Moroccan Arabic to the more widely understood classical Arabic. But, as we heard from Khadija, most Moroccans are still very proud of her and love her music. This is her debut at the Timitar Festival.
Thank you.
Samira Said, your music to me sounds very Middle Eastern, but at the same time you're making references to popular music, to hip-hop, and to all kinds of other styles. So what is your particular mix of music?
My dream from the beginning was to make Oriental music become mixed with international music. When I began 30 years ago, Arab music meant classical Arabic music. That's all there was. Now, with each album I do, I'm bringing in more and more influences from international music, from R&B, hip-hop, rai, jazz. My main concern is how to make new kinds of music within the framework of our Oriental music, our Oriental scales and our Oriental way of singing.
So it's a real fusion.
Yeah, it's fusion.
And so you've been living in Egypt for many years now.
For 14 years now.
14 years.
14 years, yeah.
Are you still a Moroccan singer or are you an Egyptian singer?
I am an Arabic singer.
Very good answer. Yeah. But you don't live here anymore, you don't live in Morocco. But yeah. So when you come back, in a sense, this is your home audience. How does it feel to perform in front of a Moroccan audience?
It's always a pleasure to be here. This is my family, first of all. And my home here, and my old friends,
and the people here, they love my songs. They know all the words. And sometimes in a song, I'll just stop singing for a moment, and I can hear the whole audience singing the next line for me. Although I don't sing in Moroccan Arabic, they still understand and love what I do.
But I notice especially the women. The women know your songs. It's the women who are looking up at you adoringly and singing,
really?
Moving their lips to every word of your songs.
Yeah, I think, women and men also. I think it's both of them.
People came from all over for my concert at Temitar. People came especially from Marrakech, from Fez, also from France and from Barcelona. And you know, yesterday I met two young children. One was 12 years old, the other one 14 years old. One came from Marrakech, the other one from Fez. They took the train on their own without their parents. I don't know how their parents let them do that.
Oh my God, that's a bit shocking.
A bit shocking, yeah. I was shocked yesterday.
But that's how much they love you, that they wanted to come all this way.
Exactly. But that shows how crazy people get here. People here followed my career since I was 9 years old. I've grown up with this audience. I have lived through three generations. There are people who are 60 years old who have lived love stories through my songs.
But there was a tough public as well that were difficult.
I was quite happy about everything. Sure, there was part of the crowd who had come to hear other singers, and that's to be expected. I didn't mind that.
Samira, you did a very short song, which was really beautiful and heartfelt, called Bledi, which I think means country.
It's a simple little song from Moroccan folklore. It's just my way of saying hi to my audience. The title is Bint Bledi, the girl from my homeland.
So which is your country? Is it here in Morocco?
Yes, my country is it's Morocco, it's Egypt also, it's my country also.
Morocco is my childhood, my family, yes, my country.
So are you the Binti Bledi?
Yes, though I'm not a girl anymore, so maybe I'm the lady of the homeland.
Okay, thank you, Samira.
Thank you, merci. ويا بنت بلادي بنت بلادي بنت بلادي وكان موت عليه ويا بنت بلادي ويا بنت بلادي عجبوني عيني بنت بلادي Oh, I should.
For the Timitar Festival to program a Moroccan icon of the Arab world in this event, which is such a strong affirmation of Amazigh identity, well, you might say it's at the very least daring. And for her last number, Samira's producing what she hopes will be a political masterstroke. She's invited Amazigh star Raisa Aisha Tashinuit back on the stage to join her in an Amazigh language song. It's all very spontaneous, all very improvised, and maybe it sums up the complex mix of cultures that is Morocco today. A mix that certainly gets to a boiling point with the enormous local crowd here at the Timitar Festival.
Allah.
music of Samira Said, ending World Roots. It was recorded at the 2009 Timitar Festival in Morocco and introduced by Lucy Duran. And the programme was first broadcast here on Radio 3 in December 2009. Next week, Lopa Kotari will be here to present highlights from the Darbar Festival of Indian Classical Music. And next week, World Roots is at the later time of 10:30. Now, Donald MacLeod looks ahead to Composer of the Week.
Piano Season on BBC Radio 3.
I've got great composer-pianists in my sight, the one much more familiar than the other. The romantic figure of Chopin, the Polish hero, now towers like a titan over the diminutive, much-neglected Irishman, John Field, little known now, but in his heyday, a legend, regarded as the greatest pianist of his time. When people heard Chopin play, they assumed Field must have taught him. I'll also be trying to unravel the mystery of who invented the nocturne. John Field and Frédéric Chopin as Composers of the Week. Weekdays at 12 noon and 6:30.
And that's starting tomorrow. This is BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. Jonathan Swain presents music through the night from 12:30, beginning with Poulenc and Debussy. But now at 11, it's time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's show, an interview with vibraphone virtuoso Joe Locke in advance of his UK shows.
Sometimes music can take people out of the darkness, and sometimes, for me, playing music can take me out of my own darkness.
Joe Locke. Well, we've also got part two of the Green Seagull Suite by band leader Tommy Evans and his orchestra from his set recorded at the Scarborough Jazz Festival. Tommy Evans. Plus, I'm joined by Kevin Legendre. He's here with another jazz classic plucked from the vaults as part of our regular Now's the Time feature. And Kevin, what have you unearthed for us this month?
It is Working Weeks, Working Nights from 1985. Probably a record that you used to dance to back then.
Absolutely, vertently or inadvertently.
And it's a key chapter in British jazz from the period.
Let's hear a little clip. Working Week and No Cure, No Pay, and we'll hear more from that in our Now's the Time feature later on with Kevin Legendre. First up, a brand new release out tomorrow on the Cardiff-based Edition label, and it's the music of Phrenesis pianist Ivo Neem. Neem is one of Britain's most accomplished young players and composers, and it's great to hear him in this extended environment, continuing the joyful energy and playful time signature expression with his own music. Supported as ever by Jasper Hoiby on acoustic bass, the album is called Yatra, and we're about to hear the title track, which features a strong tenor solo from Tori Freestone, and Dave Hamblett interacts with great verve on drums. This is Yatra. The gifted writing of Ivo Neem and Yatra, the title track of his new album, out on the Edition label. And the tenor action was provided by Tori Freestone. John Shendy featured in the melody on clarinet. And there's further woodwind support from a very impressive band, which includes Jason Yard on alto and new generation jazz artist Shabaka Hutchings on bass clarinet. Jim Hart plays vibes, Dave Hamblett drums, and the brilliant Jasper Hoiby on acoustic bass. The music on this album is very engaging, thoughtful and well-constructed, and Ivo has dates coming up in October with his quintet, and they'll be playing at the Brighton Jazz Club on the 12th, Greenham Arts Centre in Newbury on the 18th, and for more information and details on other performances, check out the Jazz Lineup webpage. Next month, vocalist Georgia Mancio curates another series of the Revoice Festival, which takes place at Soho's Pizza Express in London from the 12th to the 18th and continues on at the Union Chapel on the 19th and 20th. There's a host of well-chosen vocalists, including Gregory Porter, Leanne Carroll, and the phenomenal Raoul Maidon in what looks like an unmissable festival. Jazz Lineup will be there to record Georgia with John Paricelli plus the Jamie Davis Quintet on Sunday the 14th of October. The evening is in two parts, the first with Georgia and special guest guitarist John Paricelli, and the second is Georgia's presentation of international vocalist Jamie Davis and his quintet, which comprises stalwart jazz musicians from the British scene. Jamie is of course on voice. Alex Garnett is on saxophone, Leon Greening is on piano, Malcolm Crease is on the bass, and Steve Brown plays the drums. So, to get you in the mood for the festival, something plucked from the BBC Library from Georgia herself and a recording from her 2003 album Peaceful Place. This is her take on the Nat Adderley Curtis Lewis classic Old Country, opening with the walking bass line of Andy Kleindert.
By the lonesome road, it's about time you're quitting life's old tiresome load. You're so sad and lonely, got no family, just some old man from some old country. You inside no children, ain't none by your side. You left all your women, ain't you satisfied? Don't just sit there clinging to a memory of some love left in some country. Nobody need you, old man, 'cause nobody knows your name. Nobody even whispers, what a doggone shame. So the cold, grim reaper has no sympathy. You won't see your homeland except through. You won't see your homeland except through me. You won't see your homeland except through me.
vocalist Georgia Mancio and the heavily featured bass of Andy Kleindert. That was Old Country from her 2003 album Peaceful Place. And we'll hear more from Georgia and the Revoice Festival when she joins us on next week's Jazz Lineup. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, as well as jazz on Radio 3, remember there's plenty more jazz across the BBC airwaves, all available via the BBC iPlayer. And on tomorrow night's Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson, there's music from British pianist Alexander Hawkins in session with his sextet. Welcome, Jez. Before we talk a little bit about Alexander Hawkins and his sextet, let's talk about some of the other things that you're involved in. I know that you're going to be learning the piano.